Hello and welcome back to another episode of You Enjoy Life. This is the podcast all about breaking you out of your current reality and helping you just kind of step into joy, stepping away from fear and into joy and sort of living the life that you want to live just through life experiences and through tips and through guidance. Sometimes people send me in emails and I use that to prompt the actual podcast. And other times I just kind of share with what's going on in my life. If you do want to send me an email, something you're struggling with or going through, shoot me an email at youenjoylifemusic. I'll have a little thing below. You can see that. But youenjoylifemusic@gmail. Tell me what's going on. I'll be happy to share a bit of your story without, of course, giving any personal details away. But, you know, you tell me what you'd like me to share and what you're kind of looking for, because I find it's a great way to prompt a podcast. But today I've been experiencing something recently that I wanted to share from more of a personal experience. And that is the fact that, you know, you can't solve the problem with the problem. And I've been experiencing this a lot recently, and it might sound kind of obvious or odd or whatever it is, but it's become so prevalent to me that whatever the thing is that caused the problem in your life, whatever you're struggling with right now, the solution can't be the problem. And the problem with that is that oftentimes you or me or whoever is the problem. And I'm not saying that in a sense of blame, like I'm not blaming myself or blaming someone else, but I'm realizing that I'm trying to, you know, solve these issues in my life, these struggles that I'm having, these things that are coming up for me, and I'm using my own brain and my own mind to try to fix the things, figure it out. But my brain and my mind, that's the thing that got me into the mess in the first place. So how can I expect that to be the thing to get me out? Right? So think about it. Like, what is something that you struggle with that you're like, man, you know, I'm really, really, really trying to figure this out. Man, I'm really like, I'm just like this thing, this problem keeps coming up. Like every time, you know, I want to share how I feel, you know, this something comes over me and it breaks me down. And, you know, I can express this from my own personal experience. As a sort of recovering people pleaser, I'm someone who loves to please, you know, and I'm also someone who loves to break the molds. I'm like half people pleaser, half rebel, and it creates a very weird thing in my life because on the one hand, you know, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. So there's a people pleaser in me that wants to be loved. There's this person inside of me that wants to be loved, that wants to, you know, just be good to people, wants people to like me and all those things. So I do things that I think people will want and appreciate so that I will have more love. And I spent a large part of my life doing this. But what happens is when you do that, you end up creating a lot of resentment because you're not necessarily speaking your truth. And this has been one of my biggest struggles, is not always being honest with the people that I care about out of fear of what their reaction is going to be. So I'm so attached to what they think of me and how they feel. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want them to not like me or whatever it is, that I kind of go out of my way to shift things, to change things a bit, you know? And what I found is that when you're someone who is a people pleaser, you can get very passive aggressive because you're not really speaking your full truth, but it comes out in other ways. So it's not necessarily good. The idea of being a people pleaser isn't a good thing. Being the nice guy isn't a good thing. But being honest and being truthful is something that I live for. And I'm aware that just because that's what I want to do, that's the truth that I want to speak in my life, doesn't mean that that is just the, you know, the standard that happens. A lot of times, you know, things aren't quite that way. Oftentimes I struggle. So where are all my people pleasers at? You know, raise your hand if you're a people pleaser. You know who you are. Maybe you do it in a similar fashion to I do, or maybe it's different for you. But what I found is that I end up not sharing a lot of my truth because I don't want to hurt people. And that is my problem. That is one of my biggest problems. And when I have breakdowns in, you know, my relationship or in work, I'm realizing more and more that, you know, I have this, you know, this sort of ego in my head that thinks I can figure it out myself. Oh, I just got to sit down. I got to do some writing. I got this and that. And sometimes that helps. But when I keep having the same issue over and over and over again, I realize that I need external support. And that's where, like, the life starts to make a lot more sense. Because when I, who is the creating the problem, I'm trying to fix the problem, all I'm doing is creating more problems, you know? And the problem with that is that it goes on and on and on and on, and my idiot brain keeps thinking, oh, well, okay, just do this, and it'll be fixed. Just do that, and it'll be fixed. Just do that. And it's circle, 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 goes on and on and on and on again. You end up hitting your head against a brick wall. I think that's the expression, over and over and over and over again. But I'm not out to keep creating problems. I'm someone that wants to live and is dedicated to living a big life, a big inspired life. So I've found that the best way to kind of overcome that is to actually seek external support. So what does that look like? Well, it could look like many things. It could look like going to see a therapist. It could look like doing a retreat or workshop. It could look like talking to a friend. It could look like, you know, finding some new book that someone recommended to you, whatever it might be. There's so many different things. I'm going to express to you a couple of the things that I've done that have helped me overcome big problems in my life, especially when I realize that I'm the problem. And, you know, they might be helpful to you and, you know, you might have something else. And I would love to hear what are the things that you've done? You know, what has helped you kind of break out of the problem that is yourself, you know? So one of the first things that I ever did was therapy. And there's different types of therapists. And if you're someone who's like kind of scared about therapy, I think, you know, I can relate to that. First off, it can be very expensive. Secondly, you know, there's sort of the difference between the psychiatrist and the therapist, and you need to do your research because there are certain doctors who are going to prescribe you medication. There are certain, I know I've never had this experience, but a lot of friends have, where they go into a place and someone kind of is like, okay, what are your symptoms? And they're just sitting there with a pen and paper. Okay, this, you know, you're depressed, here's your prescription for whatever. And they give them the medication. And then every time they're visiting, they talk to them a little bit, but it's really about the medication. I'm a strong believer against having any kind of pharmaceutical medication in my body. So I never got into that space. But what I found is there are people like psychotherapists who are more about feeling and talking to you. And there's a mixture of talk therapy, and sometimes there's meditation and hypnosis and exercises that help you really get in tune with the emotion. And what's interesting is recently, you know, I've been seeing this therapist, and it was just like a short stint. I like to do little, like, okay, I'm going to do like 4 or 5 sessions, kind of get clear, kind of do a, you know, tune up job in my brain and then go out. And I started seeing this therapist who was really helpful. And a lot of the work that we were doing really involved like getting in tune with my own emotional body. Because the truth is, I can be very heady, and this is where the kind of problem thing comes in. I try to fix all these problems in my head, and what it does is it creates this really kind of heavy intensity in the front of my head. So we were able to, through different techniques that he was using, we were able to basically help me kind of feel into my body. Because when you have, you know, when you're struggling with something, there's sort of the thought, and then there's the feeling. And a lot of times, if you just try to change the thought without actually looking at the feeling, you're just going to be faking it and forcing it. And that's where the people pleaser thing comes in too. You know, I'm a people pleaser to other people, but also to myself too. And I try to convince myself that I'm happy, or I convince myself that I'm good, even though deep down I feel something that's off. I feel this weird feeling going on in my body, and I'm like trying to push it down. And pushing things down, as we know, is not a good thing to do. You know, when you push stuff down in your life, it always finds a way to come back up. So a lot of the therapy that I've been doing recently involves like really getting into the feel of my body. And it takes time to find the right therapist too, which I think that was a big thing that was a struggle for me initially, that I had seen some therapists years ago. And some I liked, some I didn't. And it's like, you know, it can be expensive and it takes time for them just to get to know your story. So there are like certain things that you need to look out for. But what I've really found is that you have to trust. You know, maybe it's doing consultations and talking to people. Sometimes just having a conversation with the therapist, like, hey, can we get a phone call for 10 minutes and just kind of chat and explain to them a bit about what's going on and just listen to them. What is their background? You know, what have they gone through? Why do they do this? Well, how do they think they can help? What kind of method might we work on? All these different things. And you'll get a vibe. Because I think the most important thing is to feel comfortable with the person. You know, you're going to be talking to someone and you're going to be sharing your deep, darkest secrets and all this stuff. And feeling comfortable is extremely important. Now, that is definitely, you know, one great way to kind of get help. But I said, of course, it's expensive. There are other things. There's Talkspace. I use that a little bit in the earlier phases, but it's basically an online therapy thing where they link you up with a therapist and you can do video calls or you can do more written stuff. And there's different like price tiers. And that's a great way to get started. If you just need someone to talk to, a professional, again, I would just say, look out, make sure they're not someone who's kind of just like sort of by the books and just, I'm going to write you a prescription and that's that. And some people might need medication. I'm not here to tell you, you know, not to take medication. my own personal experience is that I don't need it. I don't want it. I have no interest in that. I have other ways to experience those things. But pharmaceuticals and taking just like over-the-counter and prescription drugs, they just don't vibe with me anymore. You know, as a kid, and when I was prescribed Adderall and Ritalin and stuff, I had that experience and I never want to go back. So that is one way that you can get some sort of outside support. And it is a great reflection because you're able to speak to someone who wants to get to know you, who wants to help you, but also isn't in your life. Because the second thing I'm going to talk about is having a good friend is a great thing, but there is going to be an emotional connection that they're going to have to you. And there's usually going to be a bit more bias. Let's say you're in a relationship and you're struggling with your girlfriend. Now, chances are if you go to one of your buddies and, you know, if you're a guy and you go to speak to a guy, they're probably going to be a little biased in your favor. And I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. A lot of times it's like, you know, oh, she did what? That blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, name calling. And maybe this is me speaking to, like, you know, when I was in high school or something. So depending on the kind of level of your friends and depth of connection, they might be a little bit biased towards you, or they might be able to actually be that friend, which would be great, this friend who's like, hey, you know what? Like, this is what you're doing. You know, you're doing X, Y, Z, and if you really want to, like, connect to your girlfriend, you need to do this. Like, she's in the right, or here's how you need to see things. And that's, like, that's, I think, finding a true friend. A friend who's going to, as they say, call you on your bullshit, but someone who loves and cares about you and wants to see you succeed, and they're not going to speak from a place of jealousy or envy or anything, but wants to see you succeed, but is also going to be honest enough to show you the things that you cannot see. So we're going to talk more about that and a couple other ways that I've gotten a lot of support. But first, a quick note from our sponsor. La-la-la. So yes, having friends is a great way to sort of have that connection, is to have someone that you can talk to. Of course, it's free, you know, and of course it goes both ways. So, you know, you never want to create a friendship where it's always one-sided. I've made those mistakes before where I've had friends who, you know, I'm just their, like, sort of crying buddy, or they're always coming to me and sharing their problems with me, but they never ask me how I'm doing. And I used to think that that was, you know, something that was wrong with them. But I realized that I was creating a space where I wasn't being honest and sharing what was going on in my life. And I've found it and been told over the years that, you know, if I'm not really sharing how I am, how can people really show up for me? If people don't know what I'm struggling with, how are they going to show up for me? And so I created a lot of friends for a long time where it was very one-sided. They were coming to me for help and support, and I was doing my best, and I was so grateful that I got to help them and talk to them. But when I started wondering why they weren't asking me for help, I realized over time that I actually wasn't showing up in a way that I needed help. I was showing up as though I had it all figured out. So, of course, no one's going to try to help you when you talk and act as though you've got it all figured out. So that was definitely, you know, kind of just to start, that was a big thing that I discovered with friendship. So I think friends can be great. If you can't afford therapists, or just in general, I think friends can be a great way to get some support and to kind of think outside of your own mind. If you're struggling with a problem over and over and over again, you know, there has to be some sort of external support. And the first thing you can do is, like I said, talk to a friend or family member that you trust and that you know is going to talk to you and be honest and also listen. So another thing that I did, I'm just going to briefly touch on this. There's this thing called Landmark Education. It's a Landmark forum. And it's not just Landmark. There's a lot of different ones around the world. I've experienced Landmark, so I can talk about it. But to me, it's less about Landmark, and it's more about the type of experience. And these are weekend intensives. So some people say that, you know, for the price of therapy that could take years and years and years, you can get, like, the same amount of work done in a course of a weekend for even cheaper, doing these, like, really intensive weekends. So Landmark was the one that I experienced, and my wife and I did it. And we were at a point in our lives where we were really struggling, and, you know, we were married recently, and there was a lot of sort of family-related drama around our wedding, and it caused this, like, huge gap between us, and it caused a lot of anger and frustration and resentment. And we decided to sign up for this thing called Landmark, and it really changed our lives in a huge way. And it was ironic because I had heard about it about, I don't know, 10 plus years before from a friend. I went to an orientation, and it just, well, I'll tell you this. I'll give you a bit of a background. So Landmark is a three-day intensive kind of retreat. You know, you go home at night, but it's three full days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plus a Tuesday evening. So the way it works is you show up on Friday, and I think it's like 12 hours. So it's like 10 to 10 on a Friday, 10 to 10 on Saturday, 10 to 10 on Sunday, and then like a 3 hours or so on a Tuesday night. And that's kind of like the final night. You can invite friends, and you get to have them kind of come and sign up if they want. And the price, it's around the world. Landmark is in almost so many countries around the world. So you're probably, chances are there's one in your city. And they happen, you know, New York City has them often, and other places might have them a couple times a year, whatever it is. And then once you do like the basic retreat, there's more advanced ones and all different kinds of stuff. But it starts just at the forum. That's the first thing you have to do. And the way the forum works is, like I said, it's 3 days plus Tuesday night, and you show up and you're in a room filled with like 100, 150 people, and you have one forum leader. And a leader comes out and they start talking to you about like what, you know, what's going on. And all in all, you end up having this really powerful, intensive, magical experience where you get to like really look at yourself for who you are. You get to clear out all the bull crap that you've experienced in your life, all the fear, all the stories, all the lies that have been holding you back, and you actually get to create your life from a place of just clear. Now, Landmark is a very famous thing. A lot of people know about it. A lot of people never heard about it. There's like things, is it a cult? Is it a this? Is it a that? All I can tell you about is, first of all, it's not a cult, but all I can tell you about is that it's a very powerful experience, and it's a great way to really get to look at yourself with accountability. So you have this, you know, this person who's taking you through, this guy who's male or female who's taking you through this experience, and it's always different. There's different leaders, and the leaders go through a ton of training to become leaders. So they take you through these experiences, but then like for break, they're like, okay, now go call your parent and or your friend and tell them what you just discovered, you know, and then go turn to your partner and tell them what's going on. So you have all this accountability to like really do deep work, because you can read books and you can watch videos and be inspired, but unless you really have the accountability to sit down and like work on yourself and like get rid of all the bullcrap in your life and all your fears, you know, you're probably going to go back to who you are. So Landmark allows you to have that space to just like 3 days straight, all you're doing is focusing on your life, all the things that you struggle with. And people get up, like I got up in front of, you know, 150 people and share intimate stories about my life, things that I struggled with as a kid, traumatic experiences, things that happened to me that shaped who I am, that have held me back. There are people who have, that's the other thing, there are people from all around the world, all walks of life. And especially in New York City, it's very diverse, but wherever you go, it's all walks of life. There's, you know, anyone from teenagers, and there's a Landmark forum for teens. So I think like maybe the youngest people are like 18, all the way up to people in their 80s. So you're getting these amazingly different experiences from people who have some, in some cases, you know, they might be speaking, you're like, wow, that's like my dad, or where that's like me, you know, I can relate to their experience. In other cases, they're so different, but you experience so much because you're there and you're forced to work on yourself. So the reason I find this so powerful is because you have people there that are all going through the same thing at once. And therapy is a very one-on-one experience, and there's something beautiful about that. But there's also something really powerful about having a ton of people. So I've done Landmark. They have advanced class. They have different programs. I think it can be very helpful. If it's something you're interested, you can go to an orientation for free and check it out and see if it's for you. There are some people that say like they're a bit pushy to try to get you to sign up, but you always have a choice. So if you go there and you feel pressured to sign up, just know you always have a choice to say yes or no. The people there, they just want you to do this work because it's helped them. You know, they're inspired by it because it helped them in their life, and they want to share it with people. And I totally get that. One of the things that I do think is cool about Landmark is that it creates like a language that you can speak with people. So when I like find friends or meet new people and I find out they've been to Landmark, there's this automatic sense of authenticity that I know right away I can have those deep connections with them. You know, and I love having those connections in general, but like I know that they have the framework, they have the language to speak in a certain way where I can just talk to them and talk to them in truth and talk to them in realness and overcome all the bullcrap and overcome all the sort of niceties and, you know, generic kind of conditioned responses that we usually go through. So Landmark's cool to check out if you'd like to. I've also done some men's groups. So I actually host and hold two men's groups now in Denver. But I also was part of a men's group. There's this thing called The Modern Man that I signed up for. And that's actually where I found my therapist, because he was one of the leaders and I really liked his vibe and his style. And I was like, hey, can I do one-on-one private lessons? So one thing that I love about having these men's groups is, I mean, they met once a week. It wasn't as intensive, but it was 2 hours, and you're going around and you have different people, again, different walks of life. And they're basically sharing their different stories. They're sharing their different experiences. You're doing exercises. And all men's groups are different. But in ours, we would do different exercises. We would share about ourselves. And a lot of it was really getting in tune, like I said, with our emotional body. And not just like our head. But like, I think as men especially, we tend to overthink things. And again, I don't want to generalize, but I feel like women are more in tune in general, the feminine, with the feeling. And men are more like in the mental. You know, men are more like they get heady with stuff. They think things, they process stuff, they shut down. So a lot of this was about getting us like more in tune with what we're feeling. Like, okay, let's pause for a second. Close our eyes. You can do this if you want. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath through your nose. Are you feeling any discomfort anywhere as you breathe out? Like, I'm noticing I have a little bit of tightness in my chest right now. And I'm realizing that throughout this podcast, I've been, I think, rushing things a bit. Feeling like I need to really share a lot of information quickly. You know, and that sort of tightness leads to feeling a bit of anxiety. Tightening in my breath. And as I breathe, I can just kind of get calm. Mellow out a bit. Yeah. And as you just kind of come back from that breath, just sort of check in with your body, how you're feeling. I'm starting to feel a lot more relaxed now. So what I really appreciate about the men's group and the current men's group that I hold is it's just a safe space for men to be men, to talk about common things that come up in this world, this new world of change, and to also get insight. You know, I can share things that are going on with me, and I have a group of brothers who are willing to, you know, look at that and offer me guidance and offer me thoughts, maybe things I didn't think of. I tend to be such an individual that I forget that part of being an individual is also being part of community and part of group, you know, because otherwise the world can be very lonely. And having that outside support is a really beautiful thing that I appreciate so much. So just as a bit of a recap, I've done therapy, I've spoken to friends, I've done men's groups, I've done weekend intensives. And the last thing, you know, you have things like Landmark, but then you have other things. Like I have a friend who runs this amazing, amazing company called Echo. And it used to be, he used to be part of the Do Lectures, and they were like these 3-day amazing, mind-blowing retreats. And we did one in Costa Rica. And they were kind of touted as the Burning Man meets TEDx, where you'd have experiences, dancing, lectures, workshops, food, all kinds of stuff. And we were in this beautiful place in Costa Rica, and my wife and I were teaching this really awesome course on mindful eating, and people would have their eyes closed, and we'd take them through these different experiences, and it was awesome. But I did this one thing with this couple, Alexi and Preston, and they have something called the Bridge Method, which is I have not been to, but I've heard great things about. It's kind of another 3-day, I think, weekend intensive. And we did this thing called the Naked Truth, and it was one of the most powerful, intense experiences I've ever had. And it'll probably be a whole podcast on its own, but let's just say I was standing, and this is more extreme, so don't feel like you need to do this. I was standing naked in the jungle with about 30 people in a circle as we went one by one, expressing our deepest fears and insecurities, completely naked, butt naked, with my wife and 30 other people we did not know. And that was one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had. So my point is there's lots of different ways where you can seek help outside of yourself, because you can't always fix the problem with the problem. You know, if you are the problem in your life, you know, you need to find a way and get over your ego and step outside of your way and say, you know what? I do need help. And to get help is to step outside of myself. I get that there might be a piece of you that just wants to do everything on your own. You don't want to burden other people. That was my thing. You know, I didn't want to burden people with my problems. So yeah, there are other ways to do things without burdening people, like paying for it. But there are, you know, more affordable ways, if you can't afford therapy, to get help. And part of it is realizing that you don't have all the solutions, and that's okay. Doesn't make you weak. Doesn't mean you failed. Doesn't mean you're less than or not good enough just because, you know, you couldn't solve your own problems. It means that you actually have courage. It means that you're willing to step outside of yourself, out of the bullcrap for a moment, step outside of it and actually do something amazing, which is get support from someone else or something else so you can live your life without continually creating the same problems over and over and over again. Thank you so much for listening. This is Joshua from You Enjoy Life. Like I said, send me an email at youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com. I would love to chat. I'd love to connect. And peace be with you. And I'll see you soon.